Hey everybody, Kyle Sasser here with Great Things Tampa Bay, and have a pretty special episode here for you. Here with some real life heroes in lovely St. Petersburg, Florida. And I am here with Warden. You can say hello.
Hi.
Impact.
Hi.
Yep. And Good Samaritan.
Hello.
Just to get us started, what's the best story you got so far from being a real life hero?
So I think probably one of the funnier overall ones is back when I first started, I was up in Durham, North Carolina. And when I was trying to come up with a cheap way to help feed the homeless, so I found that Chef Boyardee spaghetti cans worked really well because they had pop tops and they were, I could get them for like under a dollar. And so I would try to introduce myself as, hi, I'm Impact, a real life superhero. They didn't really care. They just all started referring to me as the Spaghetti Man. And so when I needed a last name for Facebook, my original name was Impact Spaghetti Man. And it's long since changed, but people who have never even seen that in the RLSH community still will occasionally throw in a spaghetti joke at me. And it's just kind of one of those things that's persisted for the last almost 4 years, even though it's been so long since it's ever like been a thing.
All right, Spaghetti Man. Okay, so obviously y'all are real life heroes.
Well, I would say costume real life superheroes is a fair way to put it, because we don't want to like put ourselves above cops and EMTs and whatnot. You
the
know,
word
just
super
like,
is definitely a needed addendum, right? But
yes, yes.
Obviously, don't have superpowers,
right?
So, if you could just give us a rundown about what a real life hero actually does.
A real life superhero, or an RLSH for short, which is kind of just sort of what we're referred to within our subculture. Essentially, it's a man or a woman who puts on their own superhero costume. They create it, they develop it, they come up with their own name. For the most part, it's usually something that's not copyrighted. You know, you're not going to hear a lot of people calling themselves Batman. You'll hear a few.
And well, they call themselves Batman. They don't stick around very long. But they people are like, I'm Batman or I'm Spider-Man. There are 4,000 Spider-Man.
But like the majority of the ones who stick around usually come up with their own name, their own kind of gimmick or look. And then they usually go out and they'll do all sorts of work within their community, whether it's charity. They do a lot of work with kids programs. They do some stuff involving crime prevention, which again kind of circles back into like kid programs, school programs, things like that. Also,
some focus primarily on the crime prevention, where they'll be going out and basically
mostly observe and report kind of stuff. Nothing vigilante crazy or anything.
So, so y'all aren't going out and like punching people.
No, they're not going out looking for fisticuffs or whatever.
No Punisher action.
There are people that definitely claim to try to go out for fights.
There are people who say they do that, but and you know that they're just kind of BS.
So I'm not going to say any names, but Phoenix Jones.
Oh, I didn't want to drop any names, man.
That's all right. I don't know who I am.
But
we can cut it out if you want.
No, that's fine.
That's fine. We can keep that part.
Well, so unlike comic books or the movies, like skull fractures have a tendency to stick around a lot longer.
Exactly.
Yeah, they do.
And there are people that end up in fights and stuff. Our group, the Bay Coast Guardians, is part of a larger organization called the Extreme Justice League out of San Diego.
Or XJL for short.
And they are they're one of the few groups that you can point to and say these guys actually have gone out and done, you know, crime prevention, broken up fights. There's a few groups that do it, but they're one of the bigger ones because it's just such a big city where it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, are guys who, you know, end up in fights, but they, because of their teamwork, they usually are able to stay safe.
Yeah,
and they primarily use de-escalation, and that generally resolves a lot of issues before they turn into major conflicts.
Yeah.
So
I could say, like, I saw a guy trying to pee behind a building the other day, and just the fact that I saw him, he pulled his pants up and continued on down the road.
Yeah. No, that's but that's no, the like, thing. That's a lot of what we're doing.
Well,
is,
and that's the thing. They call that visual deterrent. Yeah, it's sort of what they call it. And so you see these guys in a bright colored outfit.
Oh, I absolutely shamed him. I was like, what? No. Yeah, yeah. I'm like, no, you should not be doing that over
there.
It's
funny because whenever we do our safety patrols or whatever, and we walk around town, if somebody wants to, you know, jack a car or whatever, and then they see a bunch of dudes in bright, like, almost rainbow-esque, like, outfits, they just go,
like, what the shit?
This is too weird. I'm going home. Like, it's not even a fear thing. It's just this has gotten too weird.
The universe is telling me I should go somewhere else.
I just need to leave.
And even just like, you know, it's kind of like what you just said about the guy. It's having someone around makes a crime less likely to happen. Because we hear all the time these people who want to start out, they're like, I'm going to go fight crime. And I always say, how much do you see crime
actually
on
happen?
A daily basis?
Yeah.
And well, most of them, you know, they'll be like, oh, it's my city's terrible. And then you look up crime statistics. Yeah. It's like, is it though?
Is it?
I can say, besides the public urination.
he's got more stories.
Besides that, in St. Pete, it may be once. Like,
right.
I saw kids checking a car door. That was it.
Right.
You know, I was talking.
And most of the time, people don't, because someone else is around, they're not going to commit a crime.
Yeah. Right.
And that's kind of the one of the bigger services. We do that. We can't even, can't quantify it because we don't know what we've stopped because it's not happening because we're just there.
There's metric for existing.
Yeah,
so like,
funny. It's funny because earlier I was taking an Uber ride somewhere, and my Uber driver, we were just talking about how we really love St. Pete. He's like, you know, a few years ago in 2013, this place was terrible. Like it was crime ridden. It was a mess. Like downtown, you didn't like. If anyone was like, let's go downtown, you'd be like, why? Because it was that bad.
Yeah,
and. You know, I'm not going to say, like, we cleaned it up. That's not what happened.
Yeah.
No, the police cleaned it up. It became a much better... And so when we're out in downtown St. Pete, we don't have a need to try to, like, clean up crime or anything like that. That's not a thing. For us, it's more saying hey to people, checking on the homeless in the community.
Also just to counteract that Uber driver, I was over here in like 2003. Compared to 2003, 2013 was Disneyland.
Really?
Wow. Before the artists got
it
here.
It was bad. Because you can pull
I remember that.
You can pull it up on Google, like the Google Historics on the street views.
Sure.
And Central Avenue was not.
Wow.
And that was the tracks.
Yeah.
And just going around with what a Good Samaritan said, you know, we actually largely, when we do safety patrols, we'll start near downtown, but we don't really even go through it anymore just because there's such a heavy police presence. We'll usually do a circle around.
That's what I wanted to know. Like, okay, so let me give a breakdown real quick on everybody sitting at the table and describe it for our listeners, because I know everybody's like, what do these dudes look like? So
we look very, very hideous.
So we're definitely going, you know, it's going to be in the episode title. There's going to be a link in the show notes, but I'm just going to describe it. So Warden is the man of mystery, man of
He's
few words.
He's wearing a great Speedo right now, guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
Somewhere under there. So he has a black leather trench coat, purple shirt, purple bandana, and a leather hat. I was going to say Indiana Jones. I didn't know if that would offend.
No, it's fine. I get that more than you think.
that style, like brown leather hat, and then the eye of Ra on his eye.
The eye of Ra actually goes on the other side. So this is the eye of Horus.
Okay, so the eye of Horus. So it's like deep eyeliner with you know, some lines coming out from the eye. Like I said, we're going to be putting a picture of this on the thing. Impact, he is in blue. Has shoulder pads, has a Extreme Justice League patch on his shoulder.
Yep.
A GoPro for liability reasons, I believe that was mentioned. Yep. also goggles, a helmet.
It's actually not even a helmet. It's really more like...
No, it's definitely just a mask.
Yeah, it's just cloth.
Okay.
But it looks cool enough that it looks like it could be a helmet.
Yeah.
Sunburn repellent.
Sunburn repellent, yeah.
I figured I didn't want a full helmet in Florida. It'd just be too hot.
It's important. It's important.
Oh, yeah.
And then Good Samaritan is wearing a green vest with red and black stripes down it and a red hood.
It's technically a hooded jacket, but...
Okay.
Okay. No sleep. I don't know what to call it half the time. Yeah. Like my hoodie, my jacket, my vest. I don't know. Grab the thing, you know.
I think we say it so much. We've gotten so accustomed to it that he's like describing us. And every time we reach a specific point, we're like, well, actually,
yeah. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter.
Semantics. Well, and then bracers, I guess, is what you'd call those.
Yeah, I guess.
So like wrist bracers,
yeah,
wraps.
Little wrist bracers and all that. They look cool.
And then the yellow... I called them impact shades, but that got me confused with impact. So,
yeah, no,
high visibility glasses.
Yes, okay. Yes. And some Chucks, some sweet ass Chucks.
And some red Chucks, nice.
Yeah.
So, first question, did y'all build these? Because I know you said that you like to call them gimmicks or suits and not costumes. So,
right.
Did you put these together yourself, or are these like off the shelf sort of thing?
I think sometimes some items are off the shelf, depending on the RLSH, and then other items are custom made or you know, like ordered and pieced together and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So it just depends on the RLSH, really.
What's some primary considerations when you're putting? Because obviously, like, you
know,
you see pictures online of these beautiful, intricate things. Y'all are actually going out, walking around, doing things.
Yeah. Well, I had like a rule of four or five of like your costume needs to be this, and I was saying it needs to be durable, it needs to last, it needs to be comfortable. So whatever weather condition you're in Florida, it's going to mostly be sweltering.
Yeah.
I know, we looked right at Warden.
Warden
the
with
first
the,
time we
the
went
black
out
trench coat.
And we were at the St. Pete Pride Festival in 2017. And he is just dying. He's melting.
We were
on
so worried he was going to
die of heat stroke.
Boy, do I have a story for you now that reminds me.
go ahead.
Remember the first time we met?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Oh,
so
yeah.
For reference sake, before the Bakos Guardians was actually founded, I, for about a year and a half, did my own kind of thing, I guess. I would wander the streets of downtown. I'd take back alleys and stuff. I thought it was all cool. It was great.
So edgy.
But specifically the reason that it was kind of an issue is because I, back then, before I got some loving encouragement from my friends here, I actually, most of the uniform was just black.
Black.
And I mean,
like a soul.
I found it, I get plenty of edgy jokes, but honestly, the main reason was because it was easiest to find stuff in black.
Yeah.
And that like, is a common
it's,
thing.
It's
Hot Topic is a store.
That's fair.
Yeah. Well, no, so personally, I used to wear black quite a bit, so I can definitely understand and relate.
Oh, absolutely. But the thing was, so I had a all black uniform.
Mm-hmm.
Now, mind you, right now I don't have it on, but I usually have a good couple of layers of like stuff like this.
Yeah, protective stuff.
Yeah, like a chest plate and all sorts of nonsense like that. And the issue being that when it's all black and you've got like three layers on, and then this new guy comes to town and he's like, yeah, meet up in suit. We're gonna be downtown. Oh, and it's going to be the middle of the day, by the way.
I don't know why he let me choose, but he did.
So I get there. I've walked about three blocks, and I'm dying because I hadn't worn this suit outside once during the daytime in the year and a half I'd been using it.
Yeah.
And I was like, this was a terrible mistake. Why am I doing this to myself?
Welcome to Florida.
Yeah, fantastic.
It was great. We were like, are you going to walk back to your car? He's like, yeah. He's like, are you going to take the trench coat off? He's like, no. I'm like, are you sure?
No,
he's
you
like,
got to commit.
I am stubborn.
He is stubborn. He does commit. But you know, I got to give you props, man. You definitely like added a nice splash of color here and there, and it works for you.
Yeah.
He's definitely got a what we call a pulp hero type look, which is sort of like the Shadow or Green Hornet.
That was
whatever.
The idea.
That was the idea.
Yeah, it was the idea.
Yeah, it was kind of the idea. But your inspiration was the book series, right? I want to say
partially. You could say if you've ever heard of the Dresden Files.
That was it. Yeah,
Harry Dresden is at least part of this outfit.
Which, yeah, pretty cool. Pretty cool look, actually.
Very cool.
It's a great series.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
so we painted the mental picture here.
Sure.
That you know y'all are actually in garb, walking around doing things.
Yep.
So take us through a safety patrol, as you call them. Just kind of like an average night. Like, we've already covered that you're not looking to punch people.
Right.
You know, you're not looking to do the police's job, really.
No.
Just to kind of be there to help people.
Why
so just,
would we want to do a job that someone else can do it far better than us because they are...
And get paid.
Get paid. They're paid too. They're fully trained. Yeah. We have no business doing that.
So just walk us through an average day, day, night.
Usually night. Okay. Usually if it's a daytime event, it's because something like, you know, a parade or a festival is going on, we want to kind of make an appearance.
Or we plan a specific event that's for the day.
Like a handout or something.
Yeah.
It's not a safety patrol, though.
Yeah. But so for normally our safety patrols are at night. Usually we start around 10 or 11, we'll go to 1 or 2. So if it's a busy night, we'll stay later towards when the bars are closing.
Oof, that's
dead,
late.
If it's a dead night, we...
The old man part of me is like, oh, man.
Yep.
Yeah, it kills a little bit this morning.
Don't forget the most important part. So before we head out, we actually put in a call to St. Pete Police, so that way they know not to
always
not to jump
every
us
time,
not to show
Please
up.
Please don't
like,
murder us.
Well, we have a story about that.
There was one time there was the three of us and one of our partners, Jaguar. We were out and we were walking, and we noticed like a couple police cars had driven by.
They started slowing down,
and all of a sudden we're like, you know, we should call in, let them know that we're out here.
I take my phone out and I start punching in the non-emergency number, and we round the corner,
and then suddenly out of the blue comes all of these what look like SWAT team members. They're not SWAT team members. It's just that St. Pete police are very well dressed up, equipped.
Twelve,
and we are surrounded by them.
Yeah,
and we're like, hi! Like, we don't know what to do.
They were very calm about... I've actually had a few encounters like that in the past, which is in... when I was in North Carolina, I specifically called every time.
Yeah.
For the same reason. I've been kind of used to it, so I wasn't too worried. But they were very calm. They were very nice about it, professional. They said, you know, we got some calls, and we said, yeah, we were actually just about to call in. We're really sorry that we didn't do it ahead of time.
Yeah.
You know, we're just out here trying to help people. And they said... And they were nice. They said, you know, let us know in the future next time. Just be safe.
Yeah. So I know you said you had done this previously in North Carolina.
Yeah.
And this is just kind of curiosity. You can answer this or don't.
Yeah.
Like, we'll cut it if it's fine. But curiosity, how does St. Petersburg compare to North Carolina so far as, like, authority figures and the people at large being cool with it?
That's actually kind of interesting because technically there is a law saying you can't wear a mask.
Yes.
In North Carolina.
We used to have one here.
There's a statute that it's only illegal if you're doing it with the intent to like intimidate
or commit a crime.
Well, because I know y'all mentioned there's 5,000 Batmans. I used to know one. He used to ride a motorcycle across the bridge. He got pulled over multiple times.
Of course.
For having the mask on.
So
that's a small part of the reason why I don't wear a mask.
Part of the reason why mine is the way it was, because when I started, I had basically just the headband part, the goggles, and basically a bandana, and the goggles acted as the eyepiece.
Yeah.
You had a bandana covering your mouth?
And the police, you know, made me take that part off, and they said, you know, you can keep the top part. And then eventually, after I basically made something somewhat like a really rough version of what I'm have now, and they were kind of okay with it because, and then I was calling in every time, and eventually the police there,
they get used to you.
Ones in Durham got used to me. I actually had a great relationship with them. They helped me put on a homeless handout once where I basically got escorted by an officer to go find different areas that they knew.
Oh, that's nice.
When I started, that was in Durham, and then I started working in Chapel Hill also, and from day one, like, I was calling to check out, like I would check in and out of patrols because they had asked me to. And after one of the checkouts, I get a call saying, are you still around? We want to get some pictures with you.
Aww.
And then from then on, those same officers, I'd see them every couple of weeks, and they'd ask me, you know, what I'd seen, how everything's going.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a very good relationship with those police. Yeah. The ones down here, they haven't been bad to us in any way. Some of them are very friendly. Last week, and Jaguar and I were out, and you know, one of them was asking how we're doing, and sometimes we just kind of get ignored, and that's just because
some of them give us a look like, you know, their inner thought is just a sigh, like, okay,
like Jesus Christ.
Jesus,
but because we call in, they're nice about it.
Yeah,
basically,
they're
so, you know, like, I'm on the outside of this. Like, I have some fingers in the various parts of the culture that y'all are interacting with.
Right.
Sure.
But just from layman citizens, like, y'all are basically like a neighborhood watch, a little bit more active neighborhood watch than normal.
Yeah, we're not the type of neighborhood watch that's like, you know, we're going to take these guys down. Or not like that. We're more literally you're not
Granny walking around packing heat.
Yeah, exactly. No, we definitely, our focus is sort of just we want to be good neighbors to the people in our community. We love this city. I know that I absolutely love this city more so than any other town or city that I've actually ever lived in.
But did you love 2003 St. Petersburg?
I never knew. Yeah. I didn't even know what St. Petersburg was in 2003. Sorry. So
it was just a little callback.
I was there.
Yeah, he was
there. He remembers.
See, he's still here, so there's something to love, you know? And but no, I moved here in shortly before we all got together. And I had already been a part of the real life superhero subculture and community years ago, and then I stepped away.
Yeah.
And
like how many in the country would you say there are?
Oh my god, dozens.
in seriousness of like dozens active, dozens like of us. Active dozens. Guys who are actively out there doing this, like on a regular basis and not just taking bathroom selfies or
many bathroom selfies.
So,
bathroom selfies and living room selfies.
Well, that's the important part of it, right?
Right. Yeah. So not counting those guys.
Those keyboard warriors, them.
Yeah.
There's probably somewhere between 100 and 200 really throughout
the world.
The world. Mostly it's like here in the UK and some in Australia, New Zealand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you want to include all of them, the guys who show up after a new movie drops and they want to be some version of the whatever's on.
Miss Canada. There is a good few Canadian ones I've noticed.
Sorry. That's Canada, recent. Too. That can be up in the thousands.
So it's not like tens of thousands.
No.
It's
pretty scarce.
People actually going out
We have a friend in the community who tried saying, I think it was like a month ago, it was like on one of their podcast shows, it's like, well, they're in the thousands, and it's like, well, I don't know about that.
Yeah, that's probably what the roster is, but, you know, active players
right.
are...
Yeah. Right, exactly. People that call that put the RLSH in their handle on Facebook or Instagram.
Or, like, on Instagram, they'll say, I'm a real-life vigilante. It's like, please don't!
No, my favorite is real-life do not.
My favorite is real-life anti-hero, because I'm like, what does that mean?
What does that mean?
In a comic book, an anti-hero is just a superhero who's a dick. So are you just telling me you're a dick?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I remember seeing a Facebook comment conversation, some RLSH posted something, and then, like, one other person on it that says, you know, I want to use guns. Why? Well, you know,
don't.
I'm an anti-hero type.
Yeah.
What does that mean? You know, it's like, it's why. Yeah. I went really high-pitched right there, by the way.
I mean, at the very beginning, I literally used to go by real-life superhero, and I looked like a bank robber when we started out. So.
Yeah, you looked like you looked like the Hamburglar.
Yeah, I did look like the Hamburglar. Yeah.
I kind of looked like
Hamburglar. If I went by real-life superhero, they have no right calling themselves real-life anti-heroes.
You look like a Power Ranger.
No, not my first, my real early...
Oh, you mean like the...
Turtles.
Yeah, that was Ninja Turtles.
Ninja Turtles, yeah. He gets Ninja Turtles.
Hey, good, you know, it's good. Especially good
old stuff. I used to have a backpack.
Oh, yeah. Something good to aspire to.
Oh, yeah. The shield.
Impact gets Ninja Turtles. Warden gets Scary Guy because he's so tall.
It doesn't help that I'm about 3 inches at least taller than the rest of the whole group for no reason.
Yeah, exactly.
At all.
Yeah, we're all and pretty then, short except for him.
I think, what do I get? I get like, I sometimes get Robin Hood and sometimes I'll get.
Green Arrow.
Green Arrow
happens sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
See, I was going to do like Anti-Flash or like one of the...
Anti-Flasher? What the hell is that?
No, what's...
Reverse Flash?
I thought you said Anti-Flasher. I was like, I hope that I'm an Anti-Flasher.
That's when you wave your hands and all your clothes fly on.
That's going to be my character.
I love it.
You, sir, put that penis away.
So
don't be behind that building.
So a typical safety patrol, like what are you out there? What are you out there?
Oh, back to this question. My God.
Yeah. No, a good interview so always remembers where we were.
10-minute tangent.
And comes back.
So really, generally what it is, you know, we'll meet up around 10 or 11. We make that call as we're suiting up.
Mm-hmm. Please don't shoot us.
Yeah. You know, and especially recently, the operators have been very nice about it. They're like, okay, you know, be safe. Sometimes we'll get a laugh. But they've been very nice.
They generally know who we are now, I think, too.
We don't even give them names. We say, you know, if they ask for a phone
number.
We're
the superhero guys. They're like, oh, yeah, you guys, yeah.
Yeah, they kind of just know the superhero guys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then usually we'll check out, like, Williams Park area where the homeless are usually hanging out because that's around the time of the night where they're... might be starting to go somewhere else to sleep.
That one corner on 2nd.
That one corner on 2nd, right by there. So we'll usually check that area. And then we'll usually start heading west down Central. And usually our patrols are pretty much, we go probably like 20 blocks down. Okay. And then we'll kind of check the first north and south as we're going.
Yeah. And it's mainly just like wellness checks. Like if there's anybody down the alley or something like
if
that.
If we see something really bad, obviously we're going to call it in and not really interfere.
I mean, it depends.
If there's
a fight that looks like it might be out of control, we can try and step in.
And
if it looks like one that's just a couple guys pushing each other angrily, we're going to sit back and observe for a minute.
Because
a lot of times those just fizzle out.
Yeah.
But if it's like a brawl, we might try and like de-escalate it. Or if we've never had to, but...
And we hope we never have to.
But if we have to pull people out...
Back before you guys joined the team, I actually had to step in twice.
Really?
Really?
I didn't actually participate in the hitting of faces.
This was during the first iteration.
This was during the bank robber era.
Maybe don't call it that.
No, we're calling it that now. You've got to commit. So you'd be surprised at how effective a whistle blast is at breaking up drunk idiots.
Yeah.
And they hear that, they're like, the cops are here. It's time to stop. Like,
Jaguar has an air horn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, air horns are great.
And a lot of us have whistles. Mm-hmm. Like I have one just chip, like pretty close to.
Yeah.
To grab, he's got one on his keys.
And like we said previously, like a lot of times, just bringing attention to something.
Yeah. Oh, we'll shout at flashlights. Yeah.
Hey,
flashlights are one of the best things because that'll usually stop things because people are like, because you know they just see a light shining at them and they'll like.
I find that if you scream, "Hey, sir, please put that penis up," everybody just dispels.
Anti-flasher foiled again. So besides the safety patrols, y'all do some other good things for the community. Could you run us through some of those?
Yeah, I think what we try to do, aside from the safety patrols, we like to do obviously homeless handouts, and we try to do one every holiday every holiday season around Christmas time, obviously.
Hope.
And we do Hope as well, which is once every summer, just about.
We might switch that to the winter, but.
For
the idea of getting...
Says the guy in the black trench coat.
Well, so Project Hope is this large event that takes place in San Diego every year. That started in San Diego every year, and I think this is like the ninth year. And what it is, it's around Comic-Con weekend, and the idea is to bring in RLSH from other towns to work together with our parent organization.
The origin of that being that when he says Comic-Con, because there's so many of them now.
Yeah.
Talk about the original San Diego Comic-Con.
San Diego.
Back in... 2000, I want to say it was in 2010. Actually, the guy who headed up what was the Extreme Justice League, which we are an affiliate and a part of, Mr. Extreme, another individual called Vigilante Spider, who is not an actual vigilante.
Or Spider.
Or Spider. That's true. He's just a nice guy. They came up with an idea to do an entire homeless handout the weekend, Saturday of San Diego Comic-Con, because in the city of San Diego, I think that's their biggest moneymaker of the entire year for the whole city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's huge.
And whenever they get prepared for that event, it's a big week-long event. It's not just the few days. It's like it's a whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So they will push the homeless. They'll herd the homeless about a mile away from the convention center area so that they don't want people visiting tourists and whatnot to be pestered, quote-unquote, by the homeless. So the homeless have to be, you know, shuffled off. And that just kind of...
Pardon my French, but that's fucked up.
Yeah. Right.
Bit of a buzzkill.
I get the concept behind it, but just like that, it's kind of messed up. And so... when Mr. Extreme and Vig kind of found out about that, they went, you know, let's go to them.
Mm-hmm.
Let's bring the heroes to them and actually, you know, give them some packets of things. So they got together, and what they found out was that there were other RLSHs from all across the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
who were coming down to go to San Diego Comic-Con. And they said, hey, let's get them together and let's make it a big thing. And I'm probably butchering the story a little bit in some way, shape, or form. I was there for that one. It wasn't even called Hope then. And it went over so well. I don't know how many packages we handed out, but we made so many packets.
Yeah.
And we handed them all out. And
and in the package, like what would be in the package?
Like socks, granola bars, bottles of water.
Mm-hmm.
Something like toilet paper.
Toiletries
and all that.
Toiletries, all sorts of things. just to kind of help them get through at least the day.
Yeah.
You know, and it was more than that, than just giving them something to help them get through a day. It was also just to kind of tell them that there are people who care about them and that they matter. You know, I think I can only imagine how inhumane it must feel.
Yeah.
To, you have nowhere to sleep, you have nowhere to stay. It's, you know, the earth beneath your feet is your living room, your bedroom, your kitchen, and unfortunately sometimes your bathroom. And then to be told, hey, this area that you've been staying in, get out of here, at least for the next week. We don't want you bothering these other people.
Yeah, it's true. And here, like here in St. Pete, like we have similar struggles.
They can't sleep in the park at night.
Yeah.
Which I understand why.
Yeah.
But it's also, it's tragic because homelessness is one of the only afflictions. And it's not like people are making a choice. And it's, but it's one of the only afflictions that we're actively legislating against.
Yeah.
And people will say, you know, oh, well, you know, they're on drugs and that's why they're homeless. And it's actually usually the opposite.
It's normally a crime to be broke.
Yeah. Normally people end up on drugs if they're on drugs and they're homeless. It's normally because they're homeless. Homeless.
Yeah.
Because imagine how mind-numbing it is to have, like, we all have computers and books and TVs. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. To have maybe access to some old magazines or books and have nothing else to keep you occupied for 24 hours a day.
It kind of, like, you know, like any sort of substance abuse usually goes hand in hand with some sort of, like, hopelessness or
right.
Like, mm-hmm. something like
and
that.
It's,
you know?
And a lot of times for them, too, and I've done a lot of homeless outreach work even before becoming an RLSH. And a lot of the folks that I've worked with, who they themselves used to be homeless, and you know now they're not, and so like I'm being mentored by them, and they're like, listen, you got to understand, you're bored.
Yeah.
You're just bored, and you can only try to job hunt as much as you can, because most of the time you show up at a job interview, and if you're homeless, you might not smell that great, you might not look that great. You're doing your best you can,
mm-hmm.
but then you do the few interviews, you don't get called back. What else do you do with your time? And so he's right. It's a huge affliction.
It's a cycle. You know,
right. It kind of is.
It cycles
yeah.
on itself.
And but you know, the great thing is that what happened with San Diego and Hope, the Project Hope, is that it became such a massive success every single year
mm-hmm.
after that first year. And there was an individual named Razorhawk who was there coming down to visit, and he said, "This is great. We should do this every year."
Mm-hmm.
And then it just became a thing. And then it started out being at once a year, the weekend of San Diego Comic-Con, the Saturday of that weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And then over the years, it became so much more. Now, other groups all across the U.S. are doing small Hope events.
Yeah. Some of them are actually fairly large now.
Yeah.
And it sounds like y'all kind of took what from San Diego and then brought that back with you and have been doing that.
Absolutely.
Here.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like, Life and Associates in New York.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Like life. There's an RLSH named Life up in New York City,
mm-hmm.
As well as Life and Dark Guardian, and a handful of others who have been doing not just Hope event. Have they done a Hope event or no? I know they've done.
Sure,
I know
they did something. There was a New York Hope.
There was a New York Hope, but they've also done Superheroes Anonymous is what Life started years ago before even Project. But there's been so many of these individuals like Life, like Dark Guardian, like Razorhawk, like Mr. Extreme, and like so many others who have essentially for years now been going out, interacting with their communities, interacting with the homeless, doing events with their cities so that they can educate people on crime prevention, educate them on homelessness, educate them on things that they can actually do to get up off their ass and help their fellow man. I mean, part of the reason why we wear the costumes is because, one, it's fun.
Yeah.
We like it. and there's a lot of RLSH who will BS you and say, like, well, I do it for justice and I do it for honor. And it's like, you do it for fun.
Yeah.
Admit it. It's okay to admit it.
It puts a smile on your face.
It puts a smile on your face and everybody else's face.
Everyone does the bathroom selfies for a reason.
Exactly. Right. But the second reason why we do it, the primary reason is because it's fun. The second reason, I think, is also because, hey, yeah, it brings, there's a loudness to it that brings attention to the things that we're doing.
Yeah.
And when we're able to go out and do these things for our community and shout about it with these bright, colorful outfits, I know there's a lot of dudes in our community who wear a lot of black, and again, because it's all they can find, so to speak.
Present company included.
You can always add a little, but he's added a little bit of color. A little splash of color goes a long way.
And I like I'll say like when I because I found you guys on Reddit, like you'll made a Reddit post, and you know I'm sure I had the same thoughts initially that everyone would whenever they would hear about this sort of thing.
Oh shit, they're gonna get shot.
Yeah, like are those
people definitely wrote, like,
they always say that.
Are they punching
always.
People? Like you're gonna get stabbed? You know,
right?
Like all that stuff. Like you know. But then I got to thinking about it, and I learned a little bit more about what y'all actually do in the community. And I'm like, you know what? Y'all are actually kind of like a bit of light and sunshine being brought to the community. And, like, people might not understand exactly what you're doing, but that's one of the reasons I wanted to interview y'all. Because I wanted to share that light that I see with my listeners. Well, and watchers, I guess. Now.
Yeah, and and that's great to hear, and that's exactly kind of what we want to bring. Yeah.
So
first and foremost to St. Pete, but also to just you know other communities.
Yeah.
Throughout.
You do the homeless outreach. You do the safety patrols. Mm-hmm. You do some community events.
Oh yeah.
And because we talked before the interview, and you said that you were thinking about doing, even though you had not actually talked with each other. But we're actually thinking of doing like outreach to like children's hospitals or other similar type things. Is that correct?
Apparently, we're all on the same page about that. We didn't know it until today.
Okay.
But yeah, I think that's something that we'd be very, very open to.
Did that make it in earlier?
No.
No, that was when we were testing
For the record, it was fairly humorous. We were all sitting there. And there was just kind of this brief pause. And what was it exactly you said?
I think I just asked like that. I was like, do y'all do anything at like children's hospitals or anything?
There's this long pause, right? So then you go.
No, I think you went first.
Was I the first?
It was you first.
One of us said, you know.
Who's on first?
No, what actually, it was Impact.
I think
it was like,
yeah,
it was like,
I think I said.
It's been in my mind.
Yeah, I think I said, like, I haven't brought it up, but I've been thinking about doing it. And then I think Warden said something along
the lines. No, I had that idea too. Yeah.
And then I went, that's ironic because I've been thinking about that for a while too. And then it just, there you go.
So anyone listening or watching this, if you have a connection into a children's hospital.
Hello, all
hit them up.
Yeah.
Hello.
And if, I don't know if y'all want to give out any public information, like, obviously not about yourselves. You got secret identities. But so far as how to
private
identities. We got private. Why do you say we have private lives? It's so weird in the world of social media. People can find us pretty easily.
Well, so I was actually going to say that you know if you want to join the group and be a hero, like the first test is to find y'all.
Yeah. Well,
we're gonna make it easy for you though.
Or y'all could just say where you want to be found.
So you can find us on Facebook if you just type in Bay Coast Guardians. The logo is just going to be like a little sun with like a wave in the middle of it. And then a picture of a bunch of superheroes is going to be the cover photo.
Yep.
Hope you can find that.
Zoom in with the camera. It's going to be three pixels.
And it's not just you three. There's some other members.
There's actually six of us.
Currently there's six of us. And we're on Instagram. We're on Facebook.
And you can search Bay Coast Guardians for either of those. We actually do have a Reddit account now.
Mm-hmm.
That's how
which I kind of just did on a whim. And then we
you have not trolled anyone yet. So
I've
been watching.
Not yet though.
But and also we also have an email. You can just baycoastguardians@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Easy to remember. And you know we'll respond to on any of these.
No matter how crazy you may sound. No, I'm kidding. But
try not to be too crazy.
Well, try not to be so crazy.
Don't encourage them.
Oh, it's going to happen. Just Mark. Own it.
Is there room for the anti-flasher, though?
Of course.
Of course.
We would love to have the anti-flasher.
All right. Awesome. So any last words, guys? Anything we missed? Or
I don't know if I have anything else to add other than to say... Bangarang?
Yeah, that's our team cheer. Oh, well, actually, did we go through who was actually on the roster?
Oh,
just
give a quick shout out.
Yeah.
Who's not here?
So, they're not here. Who cares?
We have, who I mentioned a couple times, a guy, Jaguar.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at our photos, it's not hard to figure out which one he is.
And to describe him, he has a spotted mask on, almost like a luchador mask.
Yeah.
Yep.
With leopard spot bracers or jaguar spot.
Jaguar.
Bracers.
You can't be an official RLSH team without having a guy in a luchador mask.
It's
It's just a basic requirement.
It is. You got to have a guy who looks like a pulp hero and a guy who looks like a luchador. And then another guy who looks kind of like a Ninja Turtle slash Power Ranger.
I get Optimus Prime a lot sometimes, too, because I go
really?
Well, because I have reflectors all up and down here.
Okay.
And at night it kind of lights up when...
Got that little Michael Bay vibe going on.
A little bit. Copy me.
Who else is here?
We also have Mercy, who is... We actually do have a girl on our team. We know girls.
The girl one, yeah. That's another prerequisite of every RLSH group, to have a girl one.
No,
at
it's
least,
not.
No,
no,
I'm just joking.
Not.
I'm joking.
Because it's like the anti-requirement.
It's, there's not a lot of women who want to get into this, partially because when you... make the gimmicks that we do.
Well, it's like a slice of a slice of a slice of subculture.
A lot of women get creepily hit on by.
Yeah, there's some weirdos in this community who really should.
And it really drives them away.
I can tell you that if you do like the children outreach, I think you'll get a lot more.
Yeah,
a lot more interest in that.
Oh, sure.
And we also our last guy is a dude. He's our newest member. His name is one of our favorite. The orange wombat, which is just so perfect. Such like
absolute
a peppy,
legend.
Such a peppy person.
It's a great name because it's just it owns the silliness and ridiculousness of what we do. Because we realize that we look absolutely bonkers in our costumes, and he's like, "I'm gonna take that to the turn up to 11 and call myself the most bonkers name possible."
He's what we refer to as a living meme.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nice. I'm sure. I'm guessing he probably has the personality to match.
Yeah, got a great personality.
He's like such a bubbly, energetic person. He's super fun to be around.
Awesome.
And what's great about him is he kind of embodies the idea that our team really focuses on, which is we take the work seriously, but we don't take ourselves seriously.
Yeah.
We know what we're wearing.
Yeah.
We're aware.
We know that it sometimes comes off very silly, but the work we do is serious.
Yeah.
We're not serious, but the work is.
Yeah. And the work is, it's fun. It's fun. We do this because it's fun. We do it because we want to. We want to do these things our way. It's our way of contributing back to a fantastic community. Mm-hmm. That we just have the blessing of being a part of.
Yeah.
Warden, any last thoughts?
I'm not sure I have much to say.
And
this is the most we've ever heard of.
Yeah, that's
naturally
pretty much
naturally.
It. Yeah.
All right. Well, Bay Coast Guardians, thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
All right. This was great. And if you need any additional information, I'll drop it in the show notes so everybody can find y'all and partake in this. I think it's a cool thing y'all are doing.
Thank you.
And
we'll take anyone who's interested. We will happily talk to you. You don't have if you don't want to go on patrols, you don't have to do that. If you don't want to do handouts, you have to do that.
Yep.
We cater.
Not actual catering events. Like we don't. Maybe. Maybe.
That's our
side. We'll talk.
The breaks.
All right, guys. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks.